Here's your money briefing for Friday, September 25th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. People use the payment app Venmo to send small amounts to friends and family or to pay for items online. And to some, Venmo may just seem like an online bank. But there have been cases of fraud, and users of the app who've been duped could be in for a rude awakening when they find their account in the red.
They usually think that, you know, my bank has my back, my financial institution has my back, Venmo has my back. And not only do they find out that Venmo may seem indifferent to the fact that they were scammed, they actually want to go after the victim of the scam instead of the scammer.
Reporter Peter Rudiger will have more after the break. Scammers are always looking for their next victim, and online money apps are a perfect hunting ground. Venmo users seem to be new targets on their list. But while other online transactions often have some kind of fraud protection, those who get tricked into sending money to imposters can wind up being held accountable for lost funds. Banking and finance reporter Peter Rudiger joins me to discuss. So you know, Peter, unfortunately being scammed is a danger to look out for when doing online transactions, but is this something new? The person being scammed is responsible?
Well, a lot of people haven't heard of anything like this happening to them before. Usually they think if you use your credit card or your debit card to fund something online, you're protected, right? Because it's your bank. Unfortunately, when you use a service like Venmo or a similar P2P, they're called, payment service, the protections are slightly different. So you don't really have the same sort of rights or assistance from your bank when you're doing something to another person like that as you would if you were swiping your card or even entering it in an online shopping form.
So help us understand the cash flow here. If somebody transfers money to buy something, where does it go? And what would trigger Venmo to then try to force the user to come up with the funds?
JR, if I were to send you $10 on Venmo, you'd probably get a notification on your phone and it says your account balance is green plus 10 and mine is red minus 10. And it looks instantaneous. And you can use that $10 to send it to somebody else on Venmo. You can pay a small fee and move that to your bank account within minutes. What's actually happening is a much slower process, the same process by which checks clear or any money moves out of your bank account for any other transaction. So that takes a day or more. So even if it looks like the money's in your Venmo account right away, it takes a day or more to move from my bank to Venmo and then into your bank if you want to move it there. And what can happen is a user can say, after they authorize the payment, maybe they find out they've been a victim of a scam and they want to stop the payment. So they call their bank, they say, hey, I'm in this 1 to 3 day window, the money hasn't left, put a stop payment on that. Venmo, like I said, because it looks like it's instantaneous in your account and you can kind of take it out if you want with a small fee or send it to someone else on Venmo, they advance you the money a lot of the time so you can use it. And they are reimbursed kind of when that 1 to 3 day period happens and the money clears. But if that's interrupted, like if you stop a payment on a check, you can end up having a negative balance on your account and Venmo can be holding the bag.
Okay, and so that's when they would start the process of putting some pressure on the user.
Right, that's when they might send you an email saying, you know, you have this negative balance. Effectively, you have a debt and we would like you to pay this debt. And here are some of the things we might do to make you pay this debt. One of them is, let's say you have $500 just sitting in your Venmo account already. They might debit that amount and say, okay, we'll take the $10 that, you know, you owe JR out of that. If you don't have any money in your Venmo account, they might say, you need to pay us. And if you don't pay us, then we might exert other pressure, such as reporting you to a debt collection agency.
A debt collection agency? I would expect some Venmo users don't expect it to go that far.
Not at all. And a lot of the users we spoke to for the story are victims of scams themselves, right? They usually think that, you know, my bank has my back, my financial institution has my back, Venmo has my back. And not only do they find out that Venmo may seem indifferent to the fact that they were scammed, they actually want to go after the victim of the scam, it can look like, instead of the scammer, right? So Venmo knows the identity of the person receiving the money. But if that person removes the money out of Venmo and shuts down their account, Venmo doesn't really have any recourse against them. But under their terms and conditions, they might have recourse against you. So they might come after you for that amount. So it's very frustrating for consumers to be surprised with this. And given the economic environment we're in, kind of stress over whether or not they want to have their credit score maybe damaged if they get reported to a collection agency, or they have to pay this debt that might be difficult for them to pay that they don't think they even owe.
Wow, this really puts some Venmo users in a tight spot.
You know, scams of all kinds have proliferated during the pandemic. Venmo is just one of the mediums by which the scammers are trying to get their money. I spoke to one woman who was unemployed, and she thought she was being interviewed for a job at a publishing company. There was a legit interviewer. She went online and answered questions. She was told that she was hired and sent some money via check to pay for work from home equipment, you know, computer, some software, which she did. You know, they said, you know, pay the supplier over Venmo and gave the Venmo address. She separately emailed someone else at the publishing company about the position, and that's when she found out she was being scammed, that these people were imposters, that there was no job that she was interviewed or hired for. So she immediately calls her bank and says, you know, stop this payment, it's to a scammer, and they thankfully did. However, as we discussed, Venmo a lot of times advances the money to the scammer. And in this case, it was, I believe, $2,500. And this woman was unemployed at the time, couldn't really afford that, but Venmo was coming after her with emails saying, you know, by not paying, you run the risk of being sent to a collection agency. She decided, you know, I really can't afford having that hanging over me, so I'm going to pay it. One other person we talked to actually had a debt collector call her during the pandemic, not just a threat. This is actually, you know, Venmo sending a debt collector after someone because of a negative balance in their account. It dated from last year, but the debt collector wasn't called until the summer. And this woman was in the middle of refinancing her mortgage and really couldn't afford to have, you know, her credit score impacted or that fall through because of some debt. And similar story, she tried to sell some stuff on Craigslist. A scam artist had sent her a bogus check and asked her to send some of the extra money that he had padded there to a mover to move some furniture. And, you know, the check was bogus. The money that she sent on Venmo disappeared and she couldn't get it back.
Do Venmo's competitors do the same thing?
So my reporting indicates that this is distinct to Venmo. So Venmo's biggest competitor is called Cash App, owned by Square. A similar functionality. You can send money with just your smartphone or an email address. And they told me that for users that have a negative balance, they do not threaten to report them to debt collectors or report them to debt collectors under any circumstance.
Now, what happens when a customer tries to contact Venmo to get to the bottom of things?
So it's a lot more frustrating now than it might have been, you know, a year ago, because Venmo pretty much shut down its general purpose customer service center. So if you call their 1-855 number, you get a message saying that because of the COVID-19 pandemic, they're not offering live phone support at this time. Now, a Venmo spokesperson said that they do offer phone support for some use cases, but a lot of times it's just an email or a live chat with an agent, and they're told, you know, this could be 6 to 8 days before we get back to you. And meanwhile, as I said, you kind of have this 1 to 3 day window to cancel a payment before it leaves your bank account. So what good does it do if 6 days after that, you know, you talk to a human for the first time, via email? And if you have a question, it might take more time. So a lot of customers were very frustrated by that, you know, especially comparing it to experiences they had with their bank or their student loan provider, who automatically offered relief and forbearance during the pandemic. And here you have Venmo kind of not doing that same thing. And I should also add, JR, that, you know, Venmo tried to position itself throughout this as kind of a compassionate, almost public service during the pandemic. Hey, why don't you use it to tip your favorite bartender who's not working right now because the bar shut down? Or why don't you tip this musician that, you know, you love because you can't go to their concert because they're not having concerts anymore? And I think this kind of shows that while publicly they're doing this very compassionate, almost charitable thing kind of behind the scenes to users who are in difficult positions and really need the help, Venmo isn't really providing it.
Now, what does Venmo say about all this? Do they make any effort to try to track down the scammer?
So Venmo says it takes a lot of effort to keep bad actors off its platform in the first place. And it combines, you know, digital tools with people that look for suspicious transactions and try to keep them off before they even get to the victim in the first place. The problem is once they're on the platform, it's a lot harder to kick them off the platform, and people do get through those screens. Because of that, Venmo, you know, builds in these protections to themselves in their terms and conditions, saying that if you owe us, we might come after you. It does say that it relaxed some of those during the pandemic, right? So if you told Venmo that you had an economic hardship because of the pandemic, they said they would stop calling you for 30 days over negative balances. If you, for instance, direct deposited your stimulus check into Venmo and had a negative balance, they said, we're not going to kind of garnish that to make good on your debt. But really, the service is not designed for a lot of the uses people use it for, right? It's mainly designed to pay people you know, friends and family, so that if something goes wrong, you can get your money back. It's not designed, even though people use it all the time, to pay strangers over the internet. It's not designed for commercial purposes where you're buying goods and services, although they're slowly trying to change that and build in more protections. So really what Venmo says is kind of buyer beware. You know, this is not what it's designed for. And if you use it that way, it's a violation of our terms and conditions.
Okay, so it looks like Venmo looks at these scenarios on a case-by-case basis.
Yes, they did say that if you report to them having some sort of economic hardship because of the pandemic, they might stop calling you for 30 days on collections. With stimulus checks, that's kind of a one-off. That's a particular, they know that money's coming, so they're not going to be too upset about or too aggressive in collecting debt that you say they owe because you're a valuable Venmo customer. But beyond that, they don't do much to ascertain your financial situation. They're not pulling your credit report. They're not doing a credit check. They're not, you know, asking for any proof that you lost your job or anything. It's kind of limited in the diligence they're going to do on your particular situation.
Is this problem happening more often in the pandemic? You know, what I mean by that is we've all been living in a digital world for some time, but the pandemic has pushed so much business online.
Right. It's hard to say if the rate of scams is increasing, but definitely in absolute numbers that's increasing. And as you say, some of it is just more e-commerce is happening, more people are living their digital lives, you're in transacting, you know, digitally rather than in person. So you'd expect just in absolute dollars and cases those to go up. But what we don't really know is this fraud a greater percentage of, you know, transactions people are having now versus before.
Now, does Venmo just sometimes have to give up and, you know, write off these debts?
Oh, sure. And that is an expectation of the company. Venmo doesn't tell us how many users have negative balances and how much they owe, but Venmo is part of PayPal, and PayPal reports for the entire company that as of the end of the second quarter, there was $221 million in unpaid negative balances that they didn't expect to be repaid. And they write that off typically after 120 days.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Rudiger. Peter, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.